Okay, the recording is on. Here we go. I'm going to share my sheet with you. We are doing mitzvah number 7 in the Hashkafic mitzvos of Rav Hirsch, the mitzvah of a revelation. You will notice a lot of Hebrew. This is by far the longest set of sources that Rav Hirsch has given. Here's what it looks like in Hirsch. I'm actually probably going to read it to you because it's English. Look at that. 2 whole pages. All of that. Okay? And they're all his sources. So a few of you are giving me like the raised eyebrow looks of like, oh man, this is going to be a long one. I'm going to read it to you in English with... Wait, why? Oh, interesting. I didn't even think about that. Oh my goodness. Is his one quote, is Exodus 19:9 in this week's Parsha? It for sure is. Whoa.
Revelation is about like Matan Torah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai. You're totally right. That is awesome. There's one quote from Shmos and 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. He gives 5 sources for this week's Parsha. 4 of them are from Devarim and 1 of them is from Shmos. Fascinatingly, if you look at Rav Hirsch's so far, I think, in almost all of his Hashkafic mitzvos, almost all of them are sourced to Devarim. Where Moshe is like recapping the Torah, right? Like it's much less Hashem's interaction with Bnei Yisrael or like the context of what they're going through. And it's much more Moshe recapping to them, like what he wants them to know before going into Eretz Yisrael. And the majority of our Hashkafic mitzvos, according to Rav Hirsch, are found there. Again, Sefer HaChinuch, not necessarily so much. It's probably just around, as we would expect, like a fifth of them are there. Rav Hirsch, most of it is, again, Hashkafic mitzvos are there. Okay? Ready? So you'll look here. I'm not going to read all this Hebrew because it would really take me like half an hour to get through it. I'm going to read you Rav Hirsch because I could read that at like 2.5 speed, which I'm going to do. I learned because of this Chabura, the very happy... what's it called? Like abbreviation FF. I learned that from these sources. It would be like Devarim 4:9 FF. I'm like, what is FF? It means like fast forward. It means like that pasuk and then the next few afterwards also. So it's not like 9 through 13. It's like 9 FF. So FF means like etc. Okay, here we go. I'm reading you Rav Hirsch. If you want to read it in Hebrew, I'll try to keep my cursor around the same one. Okay. Rav Hirsch is going to give us 5 sources, and he's going to give the 5 sources for 4 points, okay? He's going to make 4 points in this mitzvah of Zichras Ma'amad Har Sinai. Sefer HaChinuch is only going to make 2 of the 5 points. So I want you to pay attention, okay? As we do each one of these, like, the set of this source, I want you to think about, like, what was the point, okay? If you have to sum that up in one sentence, it's less than a sentence, even according to Rav Hirsch, what was it? And I'll tell you Rav Hirsch's, and I've noticed that people don't really enjoy unmuting themselves here, so I'll probably just tell you, okay? But I want you to think as we go through it. Here we go. Okay, here's the first one. Only take heed to your... Okay, Rav Hirsch goes like the thyself and the thou. Okay, I'm going to do that because that's just what it writes, and then I don't have to switch it. I can just go fast. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw. And maybe it's not so easy to do the thine and the thy. Lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Make them known unto thy children and thy children's children the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. I'm going to try to translate into normal English, into 21st century English. When the Lord said to me, assemble me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to look upon me with reverence all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children also. And you came near and stood far below the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the heart of the heavens, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the 10 words. And he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at the time to teach you the statutes and ordinances, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it. So if you had to give, like, again, a fragment of a sentence to describe what just happened in Devarim 4:9 FF, what would you say? This is classic Ma'amad Har Sinai, right? Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai. Remember what happened at Sinai. This is Devarim. Moshe telling Bnei Yisrael to remember what happened at Sinai. Fascinatingly, this does not feature in the Sefer HaChinuch, right? A spoiler alert. The Sefer HaChinuch, who needs to get 613 mitzvos versus Rav Hirsch's 118, Sefer HaChinuch does not include Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai as one of his 613 mitzvos, or at least not here. I meant to look it up in the beginning, and I apologize. I did not do that to see if he has it somewhere else. But he neither has it here, nor in the next source, nor in Shmos. Okay, so let's see. So this is, Rav Hirsch calls this, the fact and the manner of the revelation of the Torah at Sinai. Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai. But Rav Hirsch, you'll notice, includes 3 more parts. So this was the most pshat, the fact and the manner of the revelation, right? That Hashem gave you the Torah and how Hashem gave you the Torah, that's what I just described. Ready? Here we go. 5:19. Sorry, Devarim 5:19. These words the Lord spoke to you. You can see it here. These words the Lord spoke to you, to your assembly at the mount of the out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud and of the thick darkness, and with a great voice, and it ceased not. And he wrote them onto the two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice of out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain did burn with the fire, that you came unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does speak with man, and he lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more than we shall die. For who is there of any flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go you near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and you shall speak unto us all that the Lord our God may speak unto you, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and that you spoke unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people, which they have spoken unto me, and they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and keep all my commandments, and that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, return you to your tents. But as for you, meaning Moshe, stay you here with me, and I will speak unto you all of the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances which you shall give them, and that they may do in the land which I give them to possess it. So that's actually the same pshat, right? It didn't really add anything. Rav Hirsch says it didn't add. Like, he doesn't include that as a different one. That's also, again, the fact and the manner of the revelation. That first it was Hashem. All Bnei Yisrael were there, they heard it, right? Moshe then recounts that and says, by the way, after you heard it already, you got scared. You came to me. You asked God to give it to me. God thought that that was a great idea. He was very proud of you. And the rest he gave to me. And then I gave it over to you that you should keep it. Okay, here's Shmos feature. Shmos 24-7 is Nasa v'Nishma, so this is probably in our parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hinei Anochi ba'ilech. Oh, here I'm reading that one in Hebrew. Okay, and the Lord said to Moshe, Shmos, Yisro, lo, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever. So again, interestingly, there's way more details about this in Devarim than there is Shmos. Again, that's kind of like always been a question of mine. I don't know the answer to it, but fine. Okay, here. So that also did not add anything necessarily. Those three, that set of three, are all in the first part of Rav Hirsch. Okay, what happens now? What does Rav Hirsch add? Here we go. And again, according to Rav Hirsch, this is all in one set of mitzvahs called Ma'amad Har Sinai, Revelation, which is Ma'amad Har Sinai, according to Rav Hirsch, you'll see, apparently, is not only the fact that they stood at Har Sinai, otherwise that set of three would be enough. But there are, in fact, three more mitzvahs coming down the line. So here they go. Ready? This is actually going to include two. Devarim 18:14ff. The Lord, just kidding, for these nations that you are to dispossess, hearken unto soothsayers and unto diviners. Does that sound familiar? It should, because we already did it. We already did that mitzvah. But as for you, the Lord your God has not suffered you to do so. A prophet will the Lord your God raise up unto you from the midst of you, of your brothers, like to me, meaning like to Moshe. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all which you do desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. Remember, that's back quoting what Moshe just said in the previous two sources back. And the Lord said unto me, meaning Moshe, they have well said that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brothers, like unto thee, unto you, meaning Moshe. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, why shall we know the word, how shall we know that the word of God, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken, meaning how will I know if it's true or not? When a prophet speaks in the name of God, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, what is that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken? The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So what just happened there? According to Rav Hirsch, in 18:14ff, sorry, it's so fun to say that, two things happen. Two. What were the two things that happened? That he's including in Ma'amad Har Sinai, in our belief in revelation. We also have to believe in three other things. Fascinating. The first is that there will be other prophets. And the second, which Rav Hirsch says, the fact and the definition of the continuous revelation and prophecy, The fact that we all heard Hashem, that we all heard Hashem then switch and give the Torah to Moshe, and that Hashem promises that there will be continuous prophets arising like Moshe in future generations, and the attestation and the signs of a true prophet. We have to know how to tell if a prophet is true, which leads us to Devarim 13. I love Mrs. Bloom, I talk all the time, F13-2F. I love Mrs. Bloom, this is probably a fake thing, I know why, I love this set. Dove here, made my idea, and your need I just like, oh, the game every single time. Anyway, I'm excited, here it is. Devarim 13-2FF. If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and he give you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after the other gods, which you have not known, let us serve them. You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God put you to proof, to know whether you do love your God with all your heart and with all your soul. After the Lord your God you shall walk, and him you shall fear, and his commandments you shall keep, and unto his voice you shall hearken, and him you shall serve, and unto him you shall cleave. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. For he has spoken perversion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to draw you aside out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded you to walk in, so shall put away the evil from the midst of you. Ba-ba-bum. All right, good. So after that massive set of sources, is everyone still here? Did everyone sign off? No. Oh my goodness, not everyone signed off. Good for you guys. Well done. Okay, let's go back in. Okay, so we have those four mitzvot. That's the first paragraph of Reverse. Let's just skip there right now. Okay, Reverse says this. There are here four things which every generation of Israel is bidden to take to heart. This is a Shkafic mitzvah that has four parts. One, the fact and the manner of the revelation of Torah at Sinai. Two, the fact and the definition of the continuous revelation in prophecy. Three, the attestation and the signs of a true prophet, the signs and the warning against a false prophet. Okay? So that's what you have to know. Hashem, you have to know what happened at Har Sinai, that prophets continue, and the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet. The only part of that, fascinatingly, that Sefer Chinuch calls a mitzvah is understanding the true prophet and not listening to a false prophet. So again, the false prophet actually comes first, right? It's in Devarim Yud Gimel, and then the true prophet is in Devarim 18. We're not going to go so into it. I actually find this stuff fascinating for whatever reason. I'll tell you why I think in our approach. I'm not, I don't know why I find it so fascinating, but I really do. Okay, here we go. Okay, so here it's a pretty short. Okay, it's about 456 and Mitzvah 516. So Mitzvah 456, again, there's so many of them, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, to not listen to a Navi that is Misnabe B'Shem Odezar. And he actually has a really interesting reason behind this. So again, if I said the interesting thing about a Navi Sheker that you have to know for like 5 seconds is that in the source that we just read, which like I would make you figure out if we had longer time together and if you had the Hebrew and it wasn't super long and all the sources weren't super long, but a Navi Sheker, the way that it's set up in Yud Gimel, he gives a sign and it comes true. The Navi Sheker isn't like a charlatan weirdo who like comes and says something that you think is ridiculous. It's not like Professor Trelawney, you know, who like everyone knows is a fraud, unless you're Lavender Brown, right? Like everyone knows Trelawney's a fraud. That's not what a Navi Sheker is. A Navi Sheker, which is interesting, I just read a parish as I was like reading up on this, who says it's funny that we call him a Navi Sheker. We don't call him like a shakran, right? We don't call him like a charlatan. That for sure is a related word, right? We call him a Navi Sheker because part of him really looks like a Navi. You don't just write him off from the beginning. There's something that's compelling about him that makes you think that he's a Navi. And one of the things that's compelling is that he actually performs some sort of miracle that then comes true. And even so, you know that he's a Navi Sheker if one of two ways. Anyone know the one of two ways? Is anyone listening to like that really super fast reading of the English version enough to catch it? Two ways, which is that he says anything about doing Avodah Zarah, meaning any miracle he performs, if he then tells you that what he wants you to do is Avodah Zarah, or he tries to illegitimize any word, anything, and forget about mitzvah, for sure mitzvah, but even any word of Torah for the rest of time. But for his time, for a real Navi in his own time is basically allowed to tell you to do anything that's anti-Torah and you have to listen to him, as long as it's not Avodah Zarah and it's nothing for all time. So a Navi Sheker and a Navi Emes are actually very similar. Again, a Navi Emes also makes some prediction about the future that then comes true and has to be a good thing, because if a bad thing doesn't come true, you're not sure. And a Navi Emes also, or can get smicha, like Yehoshua. He never performed a miracle, but he got like smicha from someone who was a Navi. Okay, so that's the difference between a Navi Sheker and a Navi Emes. Let's go into Sefer HaChinuch, who's not really going to get into that much, but Rav Hirsch will a little bit more. Okay, So first mitzvah, shalom lishma mimisnavi b'shem avodazara, not to listen to basically an avishekar. Shalom lishma nivuas mimisnavi b'shem avodazara, klomar, shalom lish aluhu v'nech kiruhu, al os omofe shegitain al nivuaso. This is fascinating. When he says don't listen to him, when he says don't listen to an avishekar, he tells you to do avodazara, he doesn't mean don't do avodazara. That's a different mitzvah. What he means is shalom lishmoa. And the way that Sefer Chanuch translates not to listen actually is not about listening. It's actually a better translation is don't engage. I don't know why he uses the term lishmoa to mean engage. But listen to this. Shalom lishmoa, shalom nishma nivuas miznabi b'shem avodazara, klomar, shalom nish aluhu, v'nech keruhu al osomofes. Don't talk to him. Don't ask him questions about what he's saying. Don't ask him to perform some sort of miracle that's going to confirm or disconfirm what he's saying. Shayitin al nivuaso, kemosha anu osim b'miznabi b'shem Hashem. Like we do with the real Nabi. We put him through the gauntlet and we make him prove himself to us. Don't, if someone is telling you to do Vodazara, don't even engage with him. You know already that he's a Navi Sheker. You should try to prevent him from being a Navi Sheker. Just like we do with anybody who's doing something wrong. And if he continues to persist in insisting on being a Navi Sheker, then you have to kill him. What's the Shar Shem Mitzvah? This is like fascinating, I thought. I would say, like, what's the Shar Shem Mitzvah? That you're not led astray, right? Like, to, like, do stuff that you're not supposed to do or not to do avodah zarah. But according to the Sefer Chanuch, that's a whole other set of mitzvahs, a bunch of which we already did last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, right? That's not this. This is a different kind of thing. This is not to engage with someone who's trying to lead you off the right path. That's what this is, a Navi Sheker. Because according to the Sefer Chanuch, listen to what it says, Lefisha toos nimza itzel b'nei adam tami. Because there's a perpetual weakness that people have. The sichlam inenu bari levo al tachlis ha'emes had badvarim. Because if you're going to engage in a back and forth with someone who has a very different opinion than you, it's very hard to get to like the actual MS underlying it all. The tachlus haTorah ki ulai mitoch hataus hamachzavios v'ha'arichos hadibor v'ha'vikuach im hazar dover shkarim hamiznabi b'shem avodazara yispat ha'adam ledvarav. Va'av ki lo yispat. Okay, fine. Lidvarav, comma. Okay, he says this is what the Torah is worried about. The Torah is worried about that you're going to get into this whole conversation with him, right? This is why people say like don't engage with missionaries. Basically, according to Sefer Chanuch, I think that's like basically the same. That's the same mitzvah as this. It seems to be like the same, at least like Shor Shea mitzvah. Right, so the missionary comes to my door. I don't believe in missionaries. I think they're idiots, right? But I'm not going to be with them. Like, oh yeah, well show me, right? Show me in Yeshaya which psukim you're talking about. Because he's going to put all of Yeshaya, and he's going to show me which psukim in Yeshaya he's talking about. And I'm going to be like, you're right, that actually does sound a little weird. And they're like, he's going to cross-reference it, right? And I'm like on my toes. I'm having like a one-footed conversation with this guy. I don't have my Tanakh on me, or maybe I do, right? And what's going to happen? I'm going to get all befuddled. I'm going to get all confused. And who knows, maybe he's going to, from my like little debate with him, maybe he's going to persuade me, or at least make me question myself for like just a minute. And according to the Sefer Chanuch, that's what this mitzvah is trying to present. Because what happens with the Navi Sheker specifically? Va'af ki lo yispata elav. He's not really going to convince you. Ula yifak feik belibo afilu sha'a achas. Liyo shum sarech bechzavav. But for a few moments, you're going to be like persuaded by his lies. Va'af al bishi yadanu sha'im tekuma lidvarav rak l'sha'a. Ki emes yore darko v'yayid al divrei hanavi hahu ki sheker befiv. The funny thing about a Navi Sheker is that you end up finding out that he's a Navi Sheker. Because he says something and it doesn't stand, or because he's somehow revealed, again, there's a famous Navi Sheker Hananiah that, you know, Yirmiyahu rats out. There's every Navi Sheker, the assumption is that he gets found out to be a Navi Sheker. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that he's a Navi Sheker, right? Otherwise, he's a Navi, basically. So with the Navi Sheker, you know that he's a Navi Sheker. It's like a missionary getting struck by lightning in front of you. So it's like a missionary shows up at your house, you have this whole debate with them, he walks out and immediately gets struck by lightning. And Sefer Chanuch says, the Torah tells you not to engage with him, even though he's about to get struck by lightning after he leaves your house, because for those 15 minutes that he's talking to you, in your heart, some doubt has been sown, and that's not worth it. So just don't engage with him. Just don't talk to him. Just look at him. Just listen to him. Just walk away. Again, fascinating, general principle, only to be a Navi. I think the same applies for Navi MS. Oh, this is actually a shame, because my Sefer Chanuch has a different title for this mitzvah that is way better than the title that, for some reason, is on Safari, okay? My Sefer Chanuch has this title for this mitzvah. Mitzvah 516. Lishmoa mikol navi v'navi sheyihya b'chol dor v'dor im lo yosif v'lo yigra mi mitzvah satorah. The mitzvah to listen to any navi in any generation,
Kol Navi V'Navi, every prophet and prophet in every generation and generation, as long as he does not add or subtract from the Torah. So that's the basic qualification for Nevuah. That's it. Okay. Sheni tavinu lishmo b'kol navi hamis nabi b'chol ma shetivinu v'afilu yitzah v'osanu la'azos v'hefech mitzvas achas min ha-mitzvos o afilu harbe mehan lefisha. The mitzvah to listen to a navi, even if he tells us not to do any of the mitzvos of the Torah, or even not to do many of the mitzvos of the Torah, as long as it's only for a certain amount of time. Chutz mi'avodah zarah, show me love. As long as he doesn't tell us to do a avodah zarah, we listen to him. Ki be'emes, because truthfully, achar shehu navi emes, kol kavanaso l'tova. Because, fascinatingly, according to the Sefer Chinuch, the ends justify the means. That seems to be what he's saying. I can't make sense of it any other way. Why? Because he's a navi emes, so his intention is for the good. V'chol asher ya'aseh, hu osel chazek hadasu ha'amin l'shem abar chut. Everything that he's going to do, even if he's going to tell us not to do mitzvos, is in the end for our better good. So here's a nice trivia question. Who in the Jewish people, or where hashkafically, is it totally fine to have the ends justify the means, even if it means you're not keeping mitzvos of the Torah? Answer, with a Navi. A Navi, MS, is allowed to tell us to do that. Isn't that interesting? Mishar Shem Mitzvah. Okay, here's Mishar Shem Mitzvah. And again, we're going to talk about the broader concept here. I don't know. I've asked the Sefer HaChinuch after many years if he meant his Shor Shem Mitzvah to be like hashkafic principles that we always talk about, or just applicable to the mitzvahs. I don't know the answer to that. Probably should ask that question too. Mishar Shem Mitzvah. Lefisha tachlis ma'alas ha'adam ki hasagas ha'nevuah. Why are we doing this? Why are we listening to a Navi if he tells us not to keep some of the mitzvahs of the Torah for a certain amount of time or whatever? Like, what's going on here? And again, the qualification is he can never tell us not to keep any of the mitzvahs of the Torah forever, right? That automatically labels him a Navi. Shek, and then he gets police engaged in and killed. Okay? Because whole quintessential development of man is new. A person can never be sure about the truth of things, like he can be sure of the truth of Nevuah. There is no comparison in any, like, basically, of our, you know, human endeavors to Nevuah. Someone said, I don't think it was me who said this, but I remember being struck by this, that they were like, Navi, a Nevuah means, like, and it's hard to imagine and relate to this, but Nevuah means that I'm more certain that what I just heard and experienced came from God than I am that I just had a psychotic break. Right? Like, if I was Avram Avinu, that I think this is where we talked about, if I was Avram Avinu and I thought I heard God telling me to sacrifice my son, and I was pretty darn sure that God didn't want that, imagine the certainty that he would have had to have that voice or that thing or whatever, that experience telling him to sacrifice his son was God, versus the fact that he had just gone insane, that's like a break, was like not whatever. And again, the counter argument is like people who have a psychotic break think they're not having a psychotic break. So, like, again, I can't answer that. Are you about to say, bruh?
No, that's so beautiful. Like, I never thought of it that way, that you have to have such an intimate relationship with God that it's like you know so well, oh, this is God's voice.
Yeah, isn't it? Especially Avraham Avinu. It's like a great place to think about it, because he was so sure that God didn't want what he's telling him to do. And boy, he's right. God didn't want it. He read the conception of God, right? And even so, he was sure that it was Nevuah, which is so fascinating. Like, again, you just see from the experience of a Navi that, like, it's so MS. I can't relate to that at all. Like, I know that what I'm hearing or seeing or saying or whatever is MS 100%. We can't relate to that as humans, as our kinds of humans right now. Okay. But Nevi'im can, and they're still humans. Fine. Didn't mean to say it like that. Okay, and basically he goes on. I'm gonna skip the rest of it, okay? But basically he goes on in that same vein. Interestingly, and again, I just taught a Pirkei Avos that reminded me of this. I love the fact that the Sefer HaChinuch calls this mitzvah lishmoa b'kol navi. Mitzvah lishmoa b'kol navi v'navi sheyeh b'chol dor v'dor im lo yosif v'lo yigra mimitzvah Torah. Meaning, no matter what the Navi says, and no matter what you think about him, as long as he has already qualified as a Navi, meaning he has smicha, or he's done some whatever, and he has, like, the basic character of a Navi, you have to listen to him. Chol navi v'navi b'chol dor v'dor. And I feel like, often, one of the things that I hear a lot, and again, I'm putting this in parentheses because I'm not sure of myself, so this is all parentheses, this is my voice, that's why you're not looking at sources anymore. We talk a lot about Yiridas HaDoros. I have never seen a source for Yiridas HaDoros. I don't know where that phrase came from. I don't know if it's a hashkafic concept. And this kind of thing you see all the time, including Chazal. This, now it's the source at Sefer HaChinuch of like a mitzvah in the Torah. For sure in Pirkei Avos we talk about it. Like Yiftach Bedora Kishmuel Bedora. We have a mitzvah to listen to whoever is presented to us, who's a sage and who knows more than us and who could provide us guidance. It's a mitzvah to listen to them.
Kol Navi V'Navi B'Chol Dor V'Dor, and not to compare them to who used to be and whether or not they measure up, and therefore whether or not we should or shouldn't listen to them. I don't think Yerida Sadoros is a thing. Yerida Sadoros is like Chaval. It would be really nice if they were like that generation, but they're not, so like I guess I have to listen to them anyways. Like, all right, this is so sad. And like I haven't seen a source for that, as opposed to this, which is like every Navi in every generation. And different Nevi'im match different generations. And the assumption always is that who you have in your generation matches your generation. And there is a disconnect. If you would go back those generations, it wouldn't make any sense. There's no shaykhus that you have to them. The people that we have are for us. And I feel like that's also the underlying hashkafa of the Sefer HaChinuch, is like your people, kol Navi v'Navi b'chol dor v'dor. Anyone who you see, who you feel like is a, or could be like a, again, some sort of like sagacious guide for you, go for it. Go for it. It's a mitzvah to listen to those people as long as they basically qualify, again, with smicha, so to speak, right? Or and plus, you know, the character traits of Navi Yikum B'cha Me'achicha Kamoni, I think, is the Hebrew, which means, like, they have to qualify as being, like, within shaychus to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Like, they can't be, like, a total, whatever, you know, black horse, black sheep, what's the word? Whatever. They can't be, like, completely unrelated to Moshe. They have to have the character that you'd expect from a Navi also. And then say the things that you expect the Navi to say within reason, and then otherwise they can say things that absolutely surprise you. And it's not Yerida Sadoros, it's Behold Navi, Navi, Behold Dor V'Dor. Okay, here's your verse. We did the four things, okay? Here we go. The law. Let's do those four things again. Again, the fact and the manner of the revelation of the Torah at Sinai. Our basic question of Rehersh, again, is why he folds in Navi MS and Navi Sheker into the revelation of Ma'amad Har Sinai. All right, why not just call this Ma'amad Har Sinai, Revelation, Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai, and have the first three sources and close it out there, right? Why does he throw in, why is future Nevi'im so important to Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai, and hashkafically, again, what is that teaching us? Why is that important? So again, the four things, the fact and the manner of the revelation of Torah at Sinai, the fact and the definition of the continuous revelation and prophecy, the attestation of the signs of a true prophet, and the signings of and warnings against a false prophet. Okay, I didn't include the last two paragraphs, which are kind of like the details of the true prophet and the false prophet, but we talked about that outside. So here's the three paragraphs of Rehersh that we have to read. Two paragraphs of Rehersh? Okay. Yep, two paragraphs of Rehersh. Here we go. The law was not brought to Israel by an intermediary, where they're credited by sign or not. All Israel, numbering 2.5 million souls, were assembled at Horeb and heard directly the voice of the Lord, which he began amid universal turbulence to reveal the law of life. Meaning everyone in Bnei Israel are Masorah, right? The way that we conceptualize this and experience it and believe this is that everyone was there and everyone heard Hashem begin to give the Torah to Bnei Israel. The whole of Israel became in that moment prophetic and climbed to the highest reaches of prophecy. Face to face, God spoke the words of life to the whole people of Israel. It is this fact, free from all possibility of deception, which guarantees the Torah as unchangeable for all generations, for all time. I'll recap that in a second, after the next two sentences. The beginning of the revelation of the law at Sinai is the guarantee of the completion of the law through Moshe. And since the Torah declares itself to be closed for all time, it follows that only a like occurrence, equally direct and with an equal number of eyewitnesses, can add so much as a single word to the Torah or take one away or declare one repealed. So long, even if one were to bring heaven to earth, does the Torah stand firm for the community of Israel as the law of life. Right, so that meant that not only is it like, oh, it's so nice that like Hashem gave the Torah to all of Bnei Yisrael Shkayach, and like maybe that helps people who like, you know, read whatever Rabbi Kellerman's book is, right? Like Hirsch is saying like, no, this is like really important to know. Because this is basically the refutation, and this is, I think, part of why Navi Sheker fascinates me, is that this is part of the refutation of anybody who has ever taken Judaism and then said, yes, but, right? Yes, this all happened, but then God changed his mind. The argument against that is built into Torah Shebichsav. It's built into like a deoraisa, which is what happens? What happens when someone comes and says, God changed his mind? There was Torah, but something shifted. Any one of these mitzvos, or really the God, or the fact that God is going to be directly to you now, there's this XYZ intermediary, right? There are two major, massive world religions who did this. And it's not like we have to hashkafically try to counter them. It's that like Torah Shebichsav itself gives us the counter argument, which is this. Since everybody in Bnei Yisrael heard Hashem speak to Moshe, we all know that the Torah is true. And since the Torah itself says, I'm closed here, The only way to open Torah again is in a counter revelation of the same extent. And that has never happened. So it's not fair, so to speak, right? It's almost like a justice thing. It's like, it's not fair or it's not equal, right? Like, it's not equal to reveal everything to 2.5 million people and then change your mind to like 6.5 people. That doesn't make any sense. That's not the kind of thing that's like fair and equitable. And therefore, that's how we know that the Torah is closed. Okay? But then what about Nevi'im? Right? You could say, what do you mean? Why can't Jesus be a prophet? Jeremiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet. Jesus was also a prophet. Right? But again, that's Navi Sheker. We built the rules into the Torah. If you say that any part of Torah is changed, added to, subtracted to, or that the God that you're worshiping in one way or another has changed, you're out of the books. You're out. So here's how Rav Hirsch explains, again, the next part of like needing to believe in Nevi'im as that next step after Revelation, Ma'amad Har Sinai. But the same occurrence, and again, why they have to be connected. But the same occurrence, along with the express word of God, is also a pledge for the appearance in Israel of the men whom God promised to raise up in Israel's midst. Let's read that again. But the same occurrence, along with the express word of God, is also a pledge for the appearance in Israel of the men whom God promised to raise up in Israel's midst, and who he did raise up, above all, when the star of Israel's material fortune was near its decline, and there was all the more need to implant and to foster the spirit, which for thousands of years was to uphold the people without a land of their own, and which in fact has upheld them. Meaning, the same thing, in the same breath, again, Rav Hirsch says, like, you have to see them in the same thing, that Hashem not only one time revealed himself to 2.5 million people, but that Hashem in that same breath, meaning in the same teaching of the Torah, right? In that same Torah where he gave you the rules of this isn't going to change, he also gave you the rules of I'm going to give you more people. I'm going to give you more people like Moshe, and especially when you need it. And especially when you're in danger of losing, I love this, the spirit. When you're in danger, not only the material fortune, but when you're in danger of you losing the spirit of the Jew. And that's what needs to be upheld. They were not to be, and I don't know why I never thought of this before. Obviously, this is rehearsed, right? They were not to be law-giving prophets. For the law, both written and oral, was closed with Moshe and transmitted to the people directly. And it stood above the prophets. Right? Nevi'im, we say Moshe is a Navi, and then we talk about Nevi'im, and we think we're talking about the same thing. And the reason both these have to be in the same mitzvah is to know that the way that Moshe was a Navi, or just it's not even the kind of Navi that Moshe was. I always thought it was like kind of like a personal thing. Like Moshe was greater than them. It's not about the person. It's about the substance. The thing that Moshe was a Navi for is always going to be, like, we shouldn't say Tanakh. We should say Ta and Nach. That's what it just said. There's Ta. There's Torah, and it's a completely different genre where that is the law. None of the other Nevi'im are law-giving prophets. None of them gave any segment or section or iota of the law, not to add to it, not to subtract to it. That was not a Navi's job. Was basically, a Navi's job was not to talk about or add to or really have anything to do with Torah. The Ta of the Nach. They were not to be law-giving prophets, for the law, both written and oral, was closed with Moshe. Everything there was already there. They had nothing. They didn't touch it. And transmitted to the people directly, and it stood above the prophets. That was way above them. They weren't going to touch that. Their purpose was to call for the observance of the law, to warn and to admonish by disclosing what would happen, to judge events as they occurred. They were the prophets of life as it was lived. Is that amazing? Nevi'im were not prophets of the law. They were prophets of life. This made me, more than anything, really want to go read all of Sefer Nevi'im. I was just looking up like a different quote of something else and reading Yirmiyahu, and I read it in a different way. I was like, Yirmiyahu is not talking about Ta. This is Nach. This is Na. This is like Yirmiyahu talking about life. He's trying to teach you something about how it's lived, about how life should be lived. What the Torah demanded of the word of the prophet was that men should listen to it as the word of God, right? But the Torah demands that you listen to the words of the Nevi'im as if it was the words of Torah. And we do that pretty well, and I think that's where we get confused, right? We have to listen to the words of Nevi'im as if there's Torah. We can't throw it out just because God didn't say it in the Torah. That they should allow themselves to be warned and admonished by it, and as to avert the trouble which was threatened as the consequence of their actual way of life by changing that life, right? Take them seriously. And if the Navi says, this will happen if you continue on this path, which is like basically all Naviim, you're supposed to take them seriously and change. That they should believe the description of the future revealed to them by God through the prophets. Right? The prophets are telling you about the future, and you're supposed to believe them and change so that the future changes. And based upon their word, their judgment of historical events, when what was still future for them should have become present, and that they should follow unquestioningly every instruction which was given to them as the will of God, not as a permanent law, but as a duty of the moment. We did this already in Hirsch, remember? We did this in Rav Hirsch, where he talked about the fact that, again, it was quoted in Devarim 18, I think it was, right, that we don't have soothsayers because our focus is not supposed to be on the future. And here's a fascinating thing, where we have to listen to Nevi'im, who have to prove themselves by showing us that they could tell us what's going to happen in the future. And what Rav Hirsch is saying here, basically, is that even that, even listening to a Navi as if it's Torah, because he's talking about the future and the future comes true, the point of it is not to focus your eyes on the future. The point of that is also to focus your eyes on the present. Nevi'im are always, their message is always telling you about life as it's lived right now by you. And again, Nevi'u Shehut Strikol Ladoros Nechtava, we assume that that's talking to us also in our lives right now. Nevi'im are never talking about what is going to happen or what should happen or what God is saying. That's not the point. That's not the point of Nevi'u. The point of Nevi'u is prophets of life as lived. Not as a permanent law, but as the duty of the moment. If you see what Nevi'im are saying as like some distant thing, like if it's not Torah and enough, we're missing it. The not is always about the duty of the moment. And just as the Torah remains the rule of life for all generations, so the words of the prophets reveal to every generation their fate in the present and the future. So that alone among the people, Israel can perform its part in human history consciously. Again, that's just like a reverse throwing in, like, by the way, this is the point of the universe. And therefore, even today, just as Torah teaches Israel its duty, so prophecy opens its eye and its mind to understanding life. I should bold that also. Really, I should bold that one. Therefore, even today, right, Torah tells you what to do and what's expected of you and what you have to do. And Nevi'im teaches you to understand life. And both of those, according to Rav Hirsch, are revelation. And those are also the way that we know that what we do is true. In contradistinction to anyone who claims that something else has arisen that has taken God away from the Jewish people. That was built in. It was built into the structure from the beginning. And I love that. And what was also built into the structure is that we understand that the Torah was given and is closed. But we also understand that we have Nevi'im, not for that reason, not to give us the law or anything, any semblance relating to the law, really, but to teach us how to live life. And this is another theme of Rav Hirsch that, again, I don't quite have my finger on, but we're going to have to keep trying to get our pulse on it. That Torah and life are two different things. And that it's like our basic avodas Hashem to apply Torah to life. And not that it happens naturally and without effort and just flippantly, right? Torah doesn't naturally just settle onto life. And as long as you're learning and living Torah, like everything else kind of flows. It is that, but it's through the intentionality of the application of life. So here we have that again. We have the Torah and the Nach. We have the Torah telling you our duties in life and Nevi'im helping us understand life and how that applies. And that I think is like a central part of our avodas Hashem that again, I'm not sure. I can't like articulate it. Don't quote me on that yet, you know, cause I'm not 100% sure, but we keep seeing that. I keep seeing that in Rav Hirsch. So we'll have to see where it takes us.